once upon a time story that's a tragedy, but does not have to be repeated in our lives. A story about a faithful father and husband who tried to be helpful in his responsibilities. He went to work every day and was a good worker on the job. He wanted to provide food and a roof over the head of his family there. And so he did that. When he would come home, he would find himself busy doing chores and keeping up with things around the house that needed fixed, and just threw himself into all that work. He had no bad habits, didn't give himself to drinking alcohol excessively or carousing or blowing money in any manner. He was not abusive in the home, didn't speak any difficult words toward his wife or children. But one day he came home from work and there was no one there. The wife was gone and the children also were gone. And even though he did 100 good things in a manner that he thought was helpful, he never had the opportunity or never knew how to express a faithful, loving commitment of affection to his family. And so that was a great lack in the home. Many good things were in the home, but love was not known or felt in the home. And the Bible tells us this about Christ's love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And what was lacking in that very common family that you might be able to identify with, it was an opportunity for both the spouse to express love, to cover the multitude of sins of the husband, and the husband to express love, to cover the multitude of sins that was also there. And the Bible tells us this in our walk with God and walk with other people. The greatest gift we could receive or express really is the gift of love that Christ would give and pass that on to other people. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he wants people to know that Christ's love is the key in having things go well between us and God and us and people. And so he says, the Corinthian church that had a lot of gifts going for it, a lot of abilities, a lot of wisdom. He said, let me show you the most excellent way. And he spoke about God's love. He said, faith, hope, and love can remain, but the greatest of these is love. And Matthew Henry commented on 1 Corinthians 13 in this manner. And you can apply it to all your horizontal relationships, home, work, church. He says, all breakdowns of love are the seeds of division. Where Christians grow cold toward each other, they will be unconcerned for people. And then this phrase, this mutual disregard is schism begun. And so I found in my life, for example, when I run up against a brick wall in some manner or have difficulty in my relationship with God or family life, or neighborhood life, whatever it is, it's really not that I need a little more wisdom and I would get over the hump, you know. Or if I just had a little bit more faith, things would go very well. But most of the time, I know it's a failure to love with Christ's love in any one given situation that creates all kind of chaos and problems. And so love as the key commitment and love as the key point of health that we would bring. If you go in a family, you know, difficulties in a family are really not because he keeps throwing his socks, dirty socks on the floor, or she can't cook very well, or the personalities are in disorder. The key is that at any one given point in time, people decide not to love each other anymore. And how sad it is and how things are missed when that is true. Same would happen among Christian people throughout church history. Christ has blessed churches, but when there's hurt in the church or difficulty in the church, it is really not because, you know, some like this music and the others like that music. It's really not because the color of the carpet was not conducive to some. It wasn't because there was too much or too little finances. The big problem among believers was, at some point in time, they stopped loving others with the love of Christ. And from there, all chaos breaks loose. In fact, Jesus thought that that was so important that he said, the number one sign of a true disciple, of somebody following Christ, would be this. Would be that they had love one for another. And that's the true source of God working in your life. I love the quote by Philip Hughes, who talks about love in any given situation. He says, love is the best and most vital gift. It's the hidden, unspectacular gift by which all other gifts come alive. So you might think, well, how can I serve at work better or in the home or wherever you're at? It's Christ's love that's the fuel and the motivation for doing things. If you don't do it in love, why do it at all? And that's true whether you talk about going on your job. It's true whether you talk about loving your family or any other relationship. But the Lord, if you don't love Him for Him, why love at all? And sometimes we as believers put other standards as very high in terms of keys to health. I do this as a Christian, as a pastor. If someone says, oh, Bob is a Christian, I ask questions like, well, how much does the Bible does he know? You know, because I think Bible knowledge is important. Good to read the Bible every day. We have a home Bible study in our home, you know. But higher than Bible knowledge, that's not the true standard of whether a person is a true follower of Jesus. How about this one? More faith. If I just had a little more faith, more would happen. You know, great faith produces great things. And if you had vision, go for it. But it's not faith that's the number one sign of being a follower of Christ, as important as faith is. It's that you love one another, Jesus said. How about does the person give generously to people in need, give to the poor? Are they willing to give their life for Christ himself, surrender their body to the flames, as the Bible said? But not even that. Christ's love is the standard, it's the high standard. And, you know, it's not just a feeling kind of love, but it is a deep commitment that comes from God himself. Did you know this morning that God is for you all the time? He has that kind of love to people. And, of course, he expressed that through his Son and through Christ. So it's not a sloppy love. It's a strong love. It's a disciplined love. In any situation where there's no discipline, usually it's not real loving. And it's a tough love. It deals with right and wrong. But that's the love God has for us. That's the love we pass on to each other. This is my commandment, said Jesus. Love one another just as I have loved you. And I was thinking, boy, when there's sin problems in our lives, usually it's not just a problem with a commandment, but it's a problem of love at that point. Probably the most broken commandment is to love others as Christ has loved us. And if I steal, for example, I steal because I love stuff more than I love God. Or if I lie, I love, perhaps I'm trying to protect my reputation, I love myself and my reputation more than I love God. If I covet, it's because I love what you have more than I love God. So all the times we sin or go out of bounds, it's really not just that issue. It's an issue of I've stopped loving God and loving people at that point. And I need to let God work on me at that level to love God and to love each other. Jesus said those were the great commandments. I'll show you a slide on the screen here just to help us see the challenge of putting love into practice. We're called to love God, and I find that our hearts initially would say, yes, this is tremendous, because God is perfect and holy. We can't hold anything against Him. I remember one time I was praying, and I thought, Lord, I don't really love you very, very much lately. And it felt like God was telling me, oh, yeah? What in me do you find disappointing? There, Daniels. I was silent. God is perfect and holy. Next part, that God is loving. He loved us before we paid Him any attention. And He's for us even more than we're for ourselves. And then God is merciful. We're so glad we can count His mercies new every morning. And then God is forgiving. How wonderful the Amish folks to be able to express forgiveness toward the situation that happened, the one who murdered, and just the whole tone of things was there was an opening for God's goodness, forgiveness expressed. And then we have loving people. How in the world are we going to do that? Loving people, well, people are imperfect and unholy, to mention the obvious. Okay, so that's one challenge. And then people are unloving. Jesus said people often love with a, he used the phrase, even the pagans love. And apparently the pagans are a motorcycle gang nowadays. If you have a pagan kind of love, you love people who are like you. Okay, a lot of times we think, well, I have Christian love in my heart. I got these two friends and we enjoy so much. Well, that's pagan love. You could have had that before you met Christ. Okay, but God's love, it loves that which is unloving. And then people often are merciless, often more revengeful than forgiving. And also people are, by ourselves, unforgiving. We want to get back. And when I made the list on the left side there, I wasn't in a bad mood. I was trying to look at the scripture and say, what does God teach about my heart without his love? How will I normally behave unless Christ does a significant work in me? Yeah, this will be my autobiography over here. And to think that, where does the breakthrough come when you and I wake up and we ask ourselves, well, then who can love like Jesus? Who can love like Jesus? The question is asked. It reminds me, thank you, fellas, for the slides. Reminds me of a friend of mine who wanted to draw close to God because he was going through a rough time. And so he said, I'm going to fast and pray for a number of days to be close to God, and maybe he will help me after that. So he did so for about 3 or 4 days, a high school buddy of mine, and he became physically ill because his body wasn't ready for that. He ended up needing medical attention. And so he said to his brother, I don't understand, he said. I can only fast and pray for 4 days, and Jesus did for 40 days. He says, I don't understand. And his brother looked at him and said, yeah, Bruce, you're not Jesus. Okay? And when it comes to loving others, it's like a wake-up call for us. We are not Jesus. And so if we're going to love others like he loved us, we're going to need his help in a big, big way. And he provides that for us. Who can love like Jesus? Only Christ. Only Christ. And Christ is willing to share that heart and that opportunity with each one of us if we'd cry out to him and admit our need. A.B. Simpson, who's a founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, he wrote this about Christ's love in his heart. Listen to this and see if you could identify with this. He said, the life of holiness, that is to know God, is a life of love. And that is the indwelling life of Christ. Try to love as Jesus did, and you will find yourself helpless. Go through the sad and humbling experience of self-effort. And then bruised, baffled, and ready to sink in despair, we fall helpless at Jesus' feet. Jesus sees our need, gives his heart to us, and enables us to love like he loved. And what a wonderful gift that the Lord would give to us. So that in part, in an imperfect manner, but in a manner that says, we do love because God first loved us, we start to have testimony. Well, it's not just our love that's the key. It's Christ's love. And for us to live is Christ. And to die would be gain, to go to be with him. It's Christ's love living in us that really makes a difference. And if you're like me, sometimes you seek health in your relationship with God, with others, and you might turn to different things. God says, well, don't forget my strong love, the motivation for which he sent Christ into the world. I saw this lived out in a life of a counselor who worked with young people one time. She loved young people and would help them through their problems. But one time she was counseling a young person who just was very reluctant and belligerent and mean and didn't want to make any changes in their life. They just wanted to continue to go towards hurting others and hurting themselves. And she became very impatient with this young fellow. And so she was going to cut off all kind of friendship or communication with him. But she started to pray very honestly to God and said, "Lord, I don't love that person at all. I don't love that person at all. And I need your help to love them. Please love them through me, through my weak efforts." She continued to meet with the fella. There were some good things happen. She sensed that Christ was bringing changes to the young person's life more than she could do on her own, you know, with her counseling skills and such. And God gave a breakthrough because they relied on Christ's love to make a difference. And that was expressed to the one in need. And so for you and I, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: what's stopping you from deciding to love other people? What's stopping you from deciding to love other people? Is it a lack in our own hearts? God recognizes that. Gives us Himself. Okay, so His power could be made perfect in our weakness. Is it that we feel other people are not worthy? They don't deserve my love. Why should I pass it on? God's love is different. He loves not because of the loveliness of people inherently, but because that's the way He is. That's the way He is. And so the wonderful calling God gives to our life, might we say, well, because Christ loved us, we love. We love with that same love that's from Him as a gift. And you might think of the challenges of this week in your own life. The question is, who do you have a hard time loving? Who do you have a hard time loving? And try to be deadly honest with God and yourself. Through His kindness, keep the list short if you can. You know, who do you have a hard time loving? Sometimes if you're honest before God, you might say, the whole world. or even myself. You know, you might say, well, I don't know how to see myself as God does. But I don't know who you have a hard time loving, but I do know this. Christ does not have a hard time loving that person. He does not. He's committed to them 100%. And He has you in their life so that you might pass on the love of Christ, which is so wonderful and can set people free. And how we turn to God and maybe be like A.B. Simpson this morning, just fall at His feet and say, "Oh Lord, give us that love we don't have on our own." Why? Not just to save us from our own obstinance and hatred and self-misery, but so that we might know You, Your love made complete in us, and so that people would know there must be a God who's really real, because we see His love expressed in these imperfect Christians that are all around us. And then He changes lives and He brings glory to Himself. Might God bring that about in us? He desires to do so. He does so in a process, as John shared this morning. So cast your heart in His hands today to love as He did. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You. You always give us the best and of the commandments. You gave us this best commandment because it would give You honor and it would be really good for us to love others like You have loved us. And Lord, as we hear about the preeminence of love in 1 Corinthians 13, thank You that it wasn't a poetic thing that You were into at the time, not something just to be read at a wedding. But the truth that can change lives. And Lord, I thank You for all the times and all the evidences that people have been able to share love like the love of Christ. It certainly draws us close to yourself. And we do kneel at your feet this morning and say, Lord, we do want to follow this commandment joyfully because we still can't get over that you love us all the time. We're quite thankful and happy about that. So we want to pass on the good news. Might we be a changed people, Lord, continually from the power of your word. Thank you for what you'll do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.